It's Monday, April 3rd.
Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News. Here's Jay Moran.
The contentious labor situation at local Starbucks stores has taken another turn with the dismissal of three area employees who've been active in efforts to unionize. According to the Buffalo News, among those fired was Lexi Rizzo, who helped to lead the organizing movement at the Starbucks store on Genesee Street in Cheektowaga. Company officials claim Rizzo was dismissed for being late to work. Starbucks Workers United has filed an unfair labor grievance with the National Labor Relations Board. State officials are encouraging school leaders to review their preparedness and safety measures following last week's series of swatting incidents that disrupted classes at 36 schools across New York State. According to Governor Kathy Hochul, state and local law enforcement personnel have increased monitoring in response to the rise in swatting.
It is phenomenally disruptive. It causes trauma among teachers and children and parents. It causes chaos, especially this week after what the nation had to witness, another mass shooting in a children's school in Nashville.
The governor said that more than 7,000 orders of protection have been issued in New York under the state's red flag laws, meant to keep people who are a threat to themselves or others from getting weapons. And gas prices are surging again. The average price in Buffalo for a gallon of unleaded gasoline is $3.47, an increase of 13 cents over the last week. Nationally, that averaged at $3.50 after a rise of 6 cents over the last week. Some Buffalo businesses may know later this morning if they have approval to begin selling marijuana at recreational dispensaries. The agency that licenses the dispensaries, the State Office of Cannabis Management, will meet this morning for the first time since last week's court ruling that partially lifted an earlier injunction that had prevented issuing licenses in Western New York and other parts of the state. While licenses are expected to be issued for most regions throughout the state today, 18 licenses in the Finger Lakes remain tied up due to the earlier legal ruling. And Erie County is highlighting the opening of another inclusive playground at Ellicott Creek Park. Officials say it's part of a $2 million investment in inclusive playgrounds in the county's five heritage parks, including the Playground for All that opened in Chestnut Ridge in 2021. Well, the deadline for the new state budget came and went Saturday without a new spending plan in place. As WBFO Albany correspondent Karen DeWitt reports, Governor Kathy Hochul and legislative leaders threw in the towel on Thursday, saying they were too far apart on some key issues in order to be done on time.
Governor Kathy Hochul is seeking more changes to the state's controversial bail reform laws, as well as an ambitious housing plan. It could build 800,000 new units in the next several years, and in some circumstances, override local zoning laws to do so. So far, the legislature has not agreed to either of those plans. Hochul, in an interview with public radio one day before the budget was due, said she's not giving up on her agenda, but will need more time to reach a deal with the Senate and the Assembly.
I think it's just a reality check. We've had very productive meetings with the leaders, but there's a lot of issues that are still outstanding. So it's just an acknowledgement of the reality of the situation. I said from the beginning, I'm not worried about hitting this deadline. We'll be close, but if we can take more time to get it right, that's more important than getting it on time.
Hochul wants to give judges more discretion to set bail for more serious charges by eliminating a clause in the law added last year that requires judges consider the least restrictive means of ensuring that a defendant returns for their court dates. Legislative leaders who, like Hochul, are Democrats, have resisted the changes, saying bail reform is being unfairly blamed for the state and nationwide crime spike. Senate Leader Andrea Stork-Cousins hinted that Senate Democrats might be open to a more narrow tweaking of the law to make it easier for judges to make decisions on whether to set bail. She says that could potentially satisfy the governor.
She wants to make sure there is a clarification of the jurisdiction that and the discretion that the judiciary has. And so we want to help to clarify the judicial discretion as well as keep the integrity of our bail laws.
Assembly Democrats also do not agree with the governor's proposal, but Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie says his conference presented the governor with a counterproposal. He didn't offer details, but he says he's not averse to fixing any potential errors in the law to make it easier for judges to operate their courts.
There's always room for compromise, particularly when it comes to clarifying things that we believe are in the law. So if things need to be cleared up, you know, we don't have an issue.
Hastie says bail reform, along with the governor's housing agenda, have bogged down the budget talks. Both houses say they want to increase grants to localities who agree to build more housing, but they're not on board with proposals to override local government's authority to enact and enforce their own zoning laws. Hastie says there has not yet been time to focus on other big parts of the budget.
If and when these two big dominoes fall, can things move a little quicker? Sure.
He says outstanding items include education aid and health care, how much total spending will be necessary, and whether taxes need to be raised on the wealthy to help pay for it all. If there's no budget agreement by later in the day on Monday, then the governor and legislature will need to agree on a spending extender. It would keep government functions running and ensure that state workers would be paid. With Passover beginning the evening of April 5th and Easter on April 9th, the extender could be a lengthy one. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Well, police on the Akwesasne Mohawk Reserve that straddles the U.S.-Canadian border have pulled 8 bodies from the St. Lawrence River. They were believed to be migrants trying to cross from Canada to the U.S. in a small boat. As correspondent Dan Karpinchuk reports, the search is still underway for a resident of Akwesasne who remains a person of interest in the case.
A search for the missing man, a resident of Akwesasne, continued through the weekend, as well as for any more possible victims. 2 of the 8 victims were children. They were recovered after an overturned boat was found in the water late last week. The bodies of 5 adults and 1 child were pulled out of a marshy area on Thursday. The bodies of a second child and an adult woman were recovered a day later. Police say the victims, apparently members of 2 families, one Romanian, the other Indian, were attempting to cross the St. Lawrence in an area where the Akwesasne Mohawk Reserve straddles the international border at Quebec, Ontario, and New York State. Sean DeLude is the chief of the Akwesasne Mohawk Police Service.
All are believed to have been attempting illegal entry into the United States from Canada. The circumstances surrounding the deaths continue to be investigated. Akwesasne Mohawk Police are working with Immigration Canada and Homeland Security to confirm their identities so that the next of kin notifications can be made.
Officials say this area of the waters off the Akwesasne First Nation has been a transit point for smuggling, especially human smuggling. And local resident Jerry Jackson says police are often patrolling along this stretch of the St. Lawrence.
Our police are pretty busy here. I mean, they ride around here all night, and then if they get a call, they go to Ontario.
And with good reason, according to Chief DeLude.
What I can say here today is that since January, we have had 80 interceptions of people that were trying to gain access to the United States coming through our territory.
Over the weekend, police searched about 5 miles of waterway. As many as 40 first responders were involved in that search, including local reserve police officers, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Ontario and Quebec Provincial Police Forces, and the Hogansburg Akwesasne Volunteer Fire Department from New York. The incident also highlights much deeper issues in Canada for migrants. Here's Syed Hussain, the executive director of the Migrant Workers Alliance for Change.
How do parents take their children and put them on a boat to go to the U.S.? That risk means that there's something really wrong happening in this country. And what that is that you simply can't get full equal rights if you don't have permanent resident status. And we knew since the expansion of the Safe Third Country Agreement that deaths were coming. We had hoped that it would not be so soon. And more will continue to happen. And that is the shocking reality that we are faced with, is that we are planning for funerals.
Hussain says in 2021, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau promised permanent resident status for students, workers, and undocumented people. But 15 months later,
we have not seen an inclusive regularization program. We have not seen permanent residency for migrants, and people are being abused at work, exploited by landlords, separated from their families, denied health care. And a few of them are making this dangerous journey to the U.S. and are dying.
Hussain says if a path to permanent residence is created, fewer migrants will be likely to attempt such dangerous crossings. Officials say the boat that was used in last week's crossing was too small to safely carry 7 or 8 people. Elders at Akwesasne say the St. Lawrence is always a major concern, especially with spring runoff. The current is stronger and the water ice cold. Some of them say they would not venture out on its waters until at least May. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.